Exchange 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With a week left before Americans head to the polls, Donald Trump and Kamala Harris are driving home their messages. Trump in Pennsylvania this hour holding an economic roundtable just outside Philadelphia. Later, he'll hold a rally in Allentown. Vice President Kamala Harris delivers her closing argument tonight in Washington, D.C.
Vice President Harris tonight will say, according to excerpts released by her campaign, that Donald Trump is, quote, unstable, obsessed with revenge, consumed with grievance, and out for unchecked power. Harris will say Trump has spent a decade, quote, trying to keep the American people divided and afraid of each other. Her message to Americans tonight is, that's not who we are.
ABC's Karen Travers. In northern Gaza, nearly 100 were killed in the latest Israeli strike targeting Hamas, many of them women and children sheltering at a building. The director general of field hospitals in Gaza says they are also unable to carry out the second phase of the polio vaccination campaign in Gaza City. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Natural Resources have announced nearly $8 million in grant funding for 12 projects across the state. The funding was provided through the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program, with grants going to organizations like local governments, nonprofits, and county forests. Among the funded projects are things like an ADA-accessible boat launch facility in Ashland, the construction of new walking paths in Hillsboro, and the development of a riverfront trail and pavilion in Prescott. A group of truckers who participated in the 5th annual Barron County Truck Show in September have donated the proceeds of the event to a Rice Lake family in need. The group reportedly gave a $65,000 check to the Helstad family to help pay for the medical expenses of their 8-year-old daughter, Blair, who has been hospitalized in Madison for months. Blair was diagnosed with febrile infection-related epilepsy syndrome and has struggled with difficult symptoms. The family thanked the truckers for their overwhelming generosity. A pedestrian was hospitalized following a police-involved accident on Monday afternoon. According to the Minnesota State Patrol, the accident involved the Duluth police officer and the pedestrian. The officer was driving on 2nd Street and went to turn onto 6th Avenue East when she hit a 47-year-old woman who was walking at around 1:10 p.m. The woman was taken to the hospital for treatment with minor injuries. Due to the involvement of a Duluth police officer in the accident, the Minnesota State Patrol is conducting the investigation. The city of Duluth has officially reopened Brighton Beach after years of construction and renovations. On Monday, city officials unveiled new amenities like the extended lake walk, picnic tables, and new bathrooms. They say during the planning process, they reached out to community members to find out what they wanted added to or changed at the beach during the renovation project. A number of local organizations like Friends of the Lake Walk also contributed to the reconstruction. The project took a total of about 4 years to complete. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose to the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks were down by 11 with 7 minutes to play, but they couldn't keep up. They lose to the Celtics 119-108 in Boston. The road trip continues in Memphis Thursday night. Packers working on a game plan for the Lions. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport on Jordan Love's groin injury.
Sources say the MRI came back relatively clean for Jordan Love. It's basically just a groin strain, which is the kind of thing where he's going to get treatment. He's already been getting treatment today, going to get treatment all week.
Matt LaFleur on that report.
So I don't know where that information comes from, quite frankly. And I'm surprised it's coming. I hope it's not coming from inside our building.
College football, the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa. Saturday night, kickoff at 6:30.
Not a whole lot of time, right? You have a night game. I mean, it turns over pretty quick, and now we got to move on. That was probably the biggest message on Sunday, is our ability to kind of regroup and reload, because we got to get rolling.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Summer is here today, with unseasonable highs reaching those mid-70s alongside a gusty southeast wind. This is all ahead of wet weather sitting on our back doorstep. In fact, showers and some storms move in overnight and throughout tomorrow. We could see some soaking rain amounts of over an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Will you dress up for Halloween, and what will you wear?
I'm not going to lie, I'm a lazy Halloweener.
A lazy Halloweener.
I just wore a football jersey and call it a day.
I have a prisoner costume, and it goes on over your other clothes, so I'll probably put that on when I take trick-or-treaters. I was never a huge Halloween guy to begin with. Never a huge Halloweener. A new phrase has been coined here tonight.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Rooten, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we come to you live from Osseo, Wisconsin, and the Norske Nook as our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour continues with Reed and Trigby. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Are you good? All right, no more touching.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy, happy days to us all. You can always be part of this fine production, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess P.S. is on the board and in the house. We've got Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. A little OT with Maggie Dawn. Thank you, Maggie. Always a pleasure to see you.
Good to be here, Dom. Just a couple of things happening.
Yeah, just a few. 1 week from today. How you feeling?
I'm exhausted. I'm excited to elect the first female president of the United States.
Yes, that's very positive. I like that.
I'm nauseated by everything that I hate. Like, right. It's sort of, I forget the psychological term, but there's an actual psychological phrase that means, like, as you push someone to change, or you're correcting bad behavior, that the behavior will get worse and you'll basically have a temper tantrum, like, and then it'll get real bad before they finally adopt
and accept, you
know, the new rules, the new way of being. We're watching that happen with the MAGA cult right now.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this show. But yes, I totally agree.
Also this show.
I mean, it is. Their back is getting to the wall, and it's getting nastier and nastier.
Yes. More lies, bigger lies, more insults, bigger insults, differently packaged insults, insults from other people. And the excuse-making is truly epic. Because it's evolved, right? The excuse, like, he didn't really say that. Well, here's the literal quote. Well, he didn't mean that. You're taking it out of context. No. Here's him doubling down on that. No, he very much means that. And he did that before. Well, I don't actually think that'll happen again. Oh, guardrails. Nope. Supreme Court immunity. It just keeps moving. And yep. Then the old standby, you know, when they have exhausted all options, their D, all of the above is, well, I haven't actually heard that or seen that.
Exactly. I haven't read the president's tweets.
Yes.
You remember? But that was the excuse.
That was the old time.
Yes. And they continue to evolve the same kind of excuses.
Yeah, I didn't watch it.
Didn't watch that. I had a plan, had a big plan, Maggie. We do have some sound of the vice president with Charlemagne the God, the Breakfast Club, I believe, this morning. We're going to get to some of that and contrast that nicely with some of the sound we have from J.D. Vance. Yes.
But the wannabe VP.
Oh, man, this guy. Talk about making excuses. But you...
He's one big sorry excuse, if you ask me.
Yes, he is. And, of course, everyone's coming to Wisconsin. I did see, of course, Harris is going to be in Madison tomorrow. And she announced, I saw it in the General Sentinel, she's coming to Milwaukee on Friday. Apparently, the same day Trump is going to be here.
Yep.
So
they're going to have, like, the face-off rallies. I wonder which one will be more enjoyable fun with greater attendance.
Oh, I don't know. But I think tonight, Well, I know who it is. Tonight at the Ellipse, it seems like it's grow. Last number I heard on MSNBC was expecting like 52,000 people.
Yeah, it went from 20 to 40. It's now at 52. Yeah. Can you have a thing called like anticipatory chills? Because that's what I've got. Right? I'm like, I can't wait.
I know.
And like drawing the contrast to the guy that fomented the insurrection. It's going to be real.
On the very grounds in which he cursed and salted, we are going to now, you know, put new topsoil on and get over this.
We're gonna rototill it.
Yes, absolutely.
To make it fertile planting grounds
once again.
A return to democracy saved yet again by black women.
Thank you, black women.
Yes.
But before we get to that, also, we have some Michelle Obama sound from Novi, Michigan. But she was lighting them up, too. We have some
She's
of that
so
as well.
Good.
She's so good.
Oh, another black woman saving America.
Yes. It's about time.
Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth.
Middle-aged white men have been doing this so long, it's about time we handed over the reins. speaking of middle-aged white men, Eric Hovde.
Oh.
Let's go there. Daniel Bice of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Major job site flags Eric Hovde's SunWest Bank over fake reviews to boost ratings.
Okay. The statistics here and the timing are like, of course you loaded up Glassdoor with fake high ratings. Now, if you don't know what Glassdoor is, it's like a portal where employees of a company can anonymously rate their particular boss, the CEO, the company as an overall place to work, benefits. It's kind of a cool thing. And you can, if you're considering taking a job somewhere, you can go there and check it out. So it's this useful hub of information.
See what the current employees or former employees of this organization had to say about their leadership, whatever, the business, everything.
And I personally have checked it out for past employers. And while you can tell when you like run across the disgruntled employees screen, you're right. Like, okay, so tail of the bell curve there. Like, I thought overall that it's ratings, so long as you've got enough people rating the business, were actually pretty accurate, like matched my general sense of the places that I've worked. So
a
I think,
Yelp for businesses, basically.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Okay.
So then you look at like, well, how did these ratings for SunWest Bank change? I love this. The overall rating for SunWest after they removed all of these questionable reviews, and by the way, we'll probably read some of them because they're written in like it's cheap busted AI.
Right. Wow.
It's like that's a crappy bot that wrote that because it doesn't even really pass like syntactical muster. Even if you were sort of writing it in, it doesn't make much sense. Anyways, so after they removed all of these fake super positive ratings.
We love SunWest.
We love it. SunWest's rating as a business went from an overall score of 4.9 out of 5 because they weren't going to give themselves a 5.
Well, you can't give yourself an A when you cheat. I mean, everybody
no,
knows.
A minus. A minus, baby. To a from 4.9 out of 5 to 3.1.
Oh, damn.
Like, dude, if you're going to juice them, don't you know how to do this correctly? Like, just juice it a little. Like, just put yourself into the B+. Don't go A minus, man.
Don't be
just
greedy.
B+.
Don't be greedy.
Eric Hovde, don't be greedy. With the Viking hat, like throwing the dollar bills, y'all, and up into the air with his wife. So, yeah, 5 to 4.9. And Hovde's approval rating.
No, 5 to 3.1.
I'm sorry. 4.9
to 3.1. Yes, thank you.
We'll do it together, yes. Dom. It's always better when we stand
together.
Hovde's approval rating as the CEO went from 98%. Again,
that's A. That's really solid A.
To 79%.
Oh, B minus.
I'm going to call that C plus.
Come on. That's a B. I had a lot of 79s. I consider that a B minus.
A 79. I thought you were going to use a different number. And the percentage of people that say that they would recommend the company to a friend has gone from, again, magically 98% to 43%.
Damn.
Fail. That's a D minus. That's an F.
So instead of 4.9, 98%, 98%, it's 3.1, 79%, and 43%.
Like, why do this? This is so dumb. Oh, and by the way, all of these like fake positive posts for Hovde's SunWest Bank that takes airplanes full of dollars from you know, banks in Central America.
Mexico, that Bank Azteca, yes.
Been investigated for working with cartels. Yeah, that same guy that lives in, you know, the huge multi-million dollar mansion in California that has a disclosed net worth of somewhere north of $150 million, but less than $499 million. Yeah, that guy. Why do you do this? And all of it happened after he announced that he was running for Senate. Like,
Timing, 3 months after, I believe, if Bice said in this article, 3 months after he announced, that's when these ratings started showing. According to Bice, Region Persten, Hovde said he'd never heard of either Glassdoor or Indeed.
Which is, I mean, come on.
I mean, are you involved in the hiring of your running of your business?
Well, he hasn't
read
the farm bill.
Well, I mean.
Hovde's definition of being qualified to do a job is knowing absolutely nothing about it.
Right. Yeah, but he dresses up like the cowboy and goes and does those commercials.
I mean, looks like a cowboy. Yeah. Is a cowboy. Anyways.
All hat, no cattle.
Yes. We know about those guys.
Sunwest has pitchforks and torches time in America. Talking to you, Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. Sunwest is currently advertising 27 jobs on Indeed.com. So someone at his company knows
what it is.
Ranging from remittance officer to regional president and with pay up to $325,000 a year. Write whatever you damn well want, said Hovde.
I loved this response.
Wait, what, man? What?
How senatorial of you, Mr. Hovde.
You know.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Hovde said he was outraged that he was being asked about the job recruitment websites after speaking on immigration panel sponsored by the Koch-backed American for Prosperity in Pewaukee. And as Maggie said, are you freaking kidding me? Write whatever you damn well want. I mean, I just love
Thank you, Mr. Senator.
The way they comport themselves.
Yes. High standard. Can I read one of the fake reviews?
Yes, please.
It's so good. Yeah,
yes, please.
I am engaged in this role where my efforts are rewarded with monetary compensation for the... Hey, I'm not done. I am engaged in this role where my efforts are rewarded with monetary compensation for the tasks I perform. The aspect of receiving payment serves as a motivating factor for me to diligently attend my work commitments. However, it seems prudent for a thorough reevaluation of this particular requisite to be conducted as it currently appears to lack effectiveness and fails to offer significant assistance. The monotonous routine of my job may seem unfulfilling at times, as I am a robot.
Well done, Maggie Dawn.
You didn't know I can robot.
No, I didn't know. You're roboting the hell out of that. Is there more?
I just want to repeat the first
one. Okay.
I am engaged in this role where my efforts are rewarded with monetary compensation for the tasks I perform. It's like I'm paid to do a job.
Yes, imagine that. Wow, you're paid to do a job. You show up to do a job, but apparently you get a little tired of it. You know, you have to maybe mix it up a little bit. Wow. He got really defensive, Hovde, did you think? Do you think he
might have struck a chord?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, this guy's he's a little angry. Now,
that this is it can be investigated by the FTC. Lena Khan, the head of the FTC, who is beloved by union organizers and workers' rights groups, said this about this kind of stuff in August. Fake reviews not only waste people's time and money, but also pollute the marketplace and divert business away from honest competitors. My agency will work diligently to bring civil penalties against those who knowingly violate it. Dear Eric Hovde. Actually, more. Dear Commissioner Khan, please look into Sunwest Bank.
You know, if he is so willing and able to, or someone in his organization, put out there these fraudulent and false reviews, I really got to wonder about everything about the guy.
Will you ever tell the truth?
Well, here's my thought. This, you know what? You know what the real underlying thing is here? That mustache is fake.
Fake stash.
I'm telling you, man.
Fake stash.
It's
just like his
stash.
Cowboy hat and his Wisconsin residency.
And his Glassdoor ratings. Folks, yes. This is the Dominic Salvia Show. The Dom Salvia Show. I'm Dominic. That's Maggie Dawn. It's Overtime with Maggie Dawn. Jess P.S. is on the board. Come back with us. 855-752-4842.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy, but that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC Overtime with Maggie Dawn. You can check out Maggie Dawn here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 2 to 4 p.m. Mondays through Fridays and all the time on the Civic Media Radio app. Maggie, thanks for sticking around. Thanks for that robot voice, really got me going. I mean, you are a talented human being, young lady.
My skills, you know, there's a lot of hidden talents.
We're going to bring them all out, baby. We're going to bring them all out.
Yeah.
Vice President Kamala Harris joined the Breakfast Club early today. And this is now, what, the second time in 2 weeks she's talked to that crew, Charlemagne the God, as well. We have a couple of clips from that. Want to play some of this, and we'll do some contrasting clips from perhaps wannabe Vice President J.D. Vance. Jess, you did the hard work on this. Let's play cut number one with Harris, with Charlemagne the God.
Well, you know, while he was at MSG yesterday, he had the rally at MSG, and he had people up there insulting Puerto Ricans and black people and Jewish people, you was actually in Philly reaching out to the black and Latino community.
Yes, and, you know, it just turned out, Charlemagne, to be a real coincidence, but again, pointing out a stark contrast between he and I. Yes, I was in Philly meeting with leaders, many leaders in many communities, but including leaders in the Puerto Rican community, to talk with them about my longstanding commitment to Puerto Rico, to the people who live on that island, who have often been overlooked. In fact, they know, and we talked about the fact that even when I was in the United States Senate, knowing Puerto Rico doesn't have its own United States Senator, I was a leader in making sure that we would get relief to people on the island when it came to, like, the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. And what I shared with everyone is part of my opportunity economy, as you know, which is about lifting up people around home ownership and small businesses, that I will have a specific opportunity economy task force for Puerto Rico that will focus on the needs that they have in terms of fixing that electrical grid in Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. and also bringing private sector investment together with government investment and nonprofit investment onto the island to help with job creation and sustainability for the island?
I mean, that's a good answer. Yeah, she's paying attention, wants to do things to help people out, right? I mean, what else do you want out of your politician?
Maybe not, you know, maybe the opposite of Puerto Ricans, a floating island of garbage.
Garbage, yes. So there was that. What was this guy's name?
From I don't even want to say it.
Hinchcliffe. Oh, Tony Hinchcliffe. Kill Tony. That's what he goes by. I didn't say
kill
that.
Kill Tony that, is goes, his, like, his tagline.
Yeah, yeah, he's Kill Tony.
What a gentleman.
He did that one of many terrible jokes, and this particular joke was the only one that the Trump campaign wanted to slightly distance itself from. Well, at least until J.D. Vance had something to say about it. Let's hear J.D. Vance's thought on the joke, and by extension, you know, the Mega's thoughts on Puerto Rico in general. Let's play the J.D. Vance.
I haven't seen the joke.
What?
I you know... Maybe it's a stupid racist joke, as you said. Maybe it's not.
I haven't seen it.
I'm not going to comment on the specifics of the joke.
Specifics.
But I think that we have to stop getting so offended at every little thing in the United States of America. I'm so over it.
They're clapping. What? People aren't getting offended over every single thing. And maybe some people do.
Certainly there are those people.
And we can have that discussion about gradations, right? And all of that stuff, but calling an island and thus people that come from that island that are U.S. citizens garbage is objectively forever today and forever and ever offensive. And all he had to say was both, right? If you want to hit the Republican talking point, you can get there, JD, wannabe Veep. You just say the joke was offensive, shouldn't have been told. I also think that we need to be able to tell offensive jokes, but this was not the time or the place. And let's not be overly sensitive, right? You could have, but
there's
just
a lot
say,
of ways you could have addressed
this
that.
This is objectively racist and offensive, and I condemn it.
But he doesn't.
No.
That's why he didn't say it, because he doesn't, right?
Which is why it's like, yes, you know, they're running for racists. Like, that's J.D. and Donald running for racists.
Gotta turn out the racist vote.
Correct. Yeah. Because they won't condemn it, because that will tick off the white supremacy, white power, neo-Nazi, white supremacist garbage contingency that, listen, a lot of the discussion today was, I've heard alternating between, like, why have we never seen, like, Ron DeSantis on a stage with Donald Trump? Why have we never, since he dropped out, why have we not seen Nikki Haley on a stage with Donald Trump?
Where were all those folks at Madison Square Garden?
Correct. Yeah. Why would you not have those surrogates? Well, there's two reasons. The easy short-term reason, right, is that they both also want to be president. His ego can't take it, neither can theirs. They can't come to terms over the, like, specifics of the thing. There's a second reason, and this is specifically true for Nikki Haley. To appeal to Haley voters, he would have to moderate slightly. That's not the game plan. The game plan is to go more right, more extreme, more fascist, more racist, more white bro-y as you can possibly get. That's why Vance was picked. So you can't then try to moderate and attract Haley voters, because that ain't your plan, Stan. So this guy telling that joke, there's a reason they won't condemn it. One, Donald Trump's people read the copy and approved the joke, so they're all on board with that. And two, that is the plan.
And
racism is the plan.
Now, that was also back and forth. Apparently, they said they didn't see it, then they actually did see it, because they edited out one of the jokes calling her a C-word.
The C-word
right, so
joke.
They took that joke out, left this
so
one
you did
in,
see copy.
And the watermelon joke, and the other.
Yes.
Well, that could have been off the cuff. It's hard to say with, you know, a talent like Kill Tony. I would
you
surmise.
Don't come up with carving watermelon. I mean, it's not even funny.
Well, it's Halloween, you know. It's I Kill Tony.
Yeah.
There's a third reason, okay. Perhaps. Trump's a big fat loser.
Yeah.
And he's wallowing in his big fat loserness with all the other big fat losers who are going to lose their ass on this election. And if they really, really, really lose their ass, the turnout's obviously it's been record breaking. What if they don't want to, they are, as you mentioned, they're presidential aspirants themselves.
Yes.
They don't want to tie themselves to a big, fat, racist loser like Donald Trump. Maybe they're the ones saying, oh, Hell no.
Well, and they want to do the same. They're trying to triangulate right. The racist vote, right? Like, that's a new contingency. I'm just going to call it the racist vote. You don't call yourself racist, but you're okay voting for one. Guess what? You're a racist. I'll see you tonight, Dom, yeah. At Charlie Barron's at the Vivarium, folks. Come on
Maggie
out.
Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday through Friday. Thank you, Maggie. I'll see you later tonight.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. With the election just days away, this year's race for the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin has become the most expensive in district history. According to campaign finance documents, Republican incumbent Derek Van Orden and Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook have raised nearly $12 million in total. Congressman Van Orden raised more with $6.6 million through mid-October. Cook raised about $5.3 million through the same point. Polling shows the district is one of the most competitive in the country. A new federal rule that went into effect on Monday will protect passengers if their flights are canceled or significantly delayed. Previously, some airlines would give vouchers out to their passengers in the event of a canceled or heavily delayed flight, providing some manner of relief for the passengers but limiting their options for booking new travel. Now, airlines will be required to provide a cash refund for passengers whose travel plans are heavily affected. The rule change comes just in time for the holiday season, the busiest travel time of the year. The Duluth City Council has unanimously approved two resolutions to fund the Spirit Mountain Restoration Project. At Monday's meeting, the City Council agreed to match $13 million of state funding for the project. The city is expected to cover about half of that $13 million, and Spirit Mountain will contribute the other half. City officials say the project is still in the design phase, so there's no timeline on when the project could be completed. Much of the infrastructure at Spirit Mountain is 50 years old and in desperate need of renovation. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany has significantly outraised his Democratic challenger Kyle Kilborn with just a few days left before the election. According to campaign finance reports, Tiffany has raised nearly $1.2 million through mid-October, compared to just $215,000 from Kilborn. Tiffany also reported having about $210,000 left over for the last 3 weeks of the campaign, while Kilborn reported having about $35,000 left over. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Schwabba. John Oliver's comedic takes on current events are top-notch. If you want a sample size and a good laugh, check out his and Will Ferrell's funny parody of Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Oliver, an immigrant himself, had to take a test to become a citizen and then listen to Greenwood's song during his citizenship ceremony and thought new U.S. citizens deserved better. When he found out Greenwood charges the U.S. government $700 a year to use the song, it rubbed him the wrong way. So he is offering the new Will Ferrell version to the government for $701. Seems like a sensible price. Uma Thurman and Anthony Hopkins are teaming up with another up-and-coming actress, Phoebe Dynevor, for a forbidden love story called The Housekeeper. The film will be set in England at Hopkins' character's vast estate, with Thurman playing a housekeeper falling for a young woman and author who is visiting. It sounds quite steamy because Thurman and Dynevor are both very attractive, and even more so because there is no mention of Anthony Hopkins doing a love scene. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, couple of showers around, temps fall through the 60s, dropping into the 50s for your Wednesday afternoon, breezy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Much colder for Thursday, occasional showers, maybe even some snow mixed. It's 71 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday in our homeroom segment, a closing message to voters about the importance of saying yes to public schools and no to the politicians who threaten them.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. I want to thank our most recent guest, Maggie Dawn. It's overtime with Maggie Dawn on Tuesdays. She sticks around after her show to hang out with me, and we appreciate her doing so. Going to see her tonight with Charlie Behrens at the Vivarium in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Right now, jazzed as hell to reintroduce our good friend Scott Ross. He's Mr. Ethics. He's a firebrand. He's a Gemini. He's a friend of ours. Hey, Scott, welcome back.
What's happening? Sorry, my camera's a little messed up.
Oh, you're looking great, man.
I don't want anybody to see any of my shameless promotional stuff.
Yeah. So. There's no such thing as shameless promotion, Scott. Hey, before we get into perhaps the national news and your reaction to the Madison Square Garden and all the other goings-on 1 week out from the presidential election, Scott, Bice wrote a piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today where he informed his readership that Eric Hovde's SunWest Bank had a ton of fake reviews to boost their ratings. And specifically, Scott, once they took away the fraudulent AI-generated bots, he went from a 4.9 as a rating for SunWest down to, a 3.1. A 4.9 to a 3.1. His own Hovde's personal approval on this Glassdoor rating, he went from 98% to 79%. And the people who said they would recommend the company to a friend plummeted from 98% to 43%. Apparently, Hovde was kind of mad about it when asked. He said, print whatever the hell you damn well want, and was not very senatorial about it, Scott. I'm not surprised, you know, how Bice is, man. He gets the stuff out there. What's your reaction to that reporting, sir?
I mean, I think we can only refer to that sort of electoral dysfunction as shrinkage from Hovde, but he is coming up short
way
when
short.
It comes to standing up for the for his own business. He's apparently a little soft when it comes
yes,
to the vote.
Yes.
But seriously,
I mean,
folks.
Come on.
But I it's that thing. I think it's that thing that comes back to all the hallmarks of this guy. You know, when you see the sort of communications from, you know, when he jumped in the lake and when he tried to make this cult of personality thing, this is a guy who's running his own campaign. I think it's why he's lost a bunch of the top people who were on his campaign.
Yeah.
I think it shows his literal incompetence, because there's no way that anybody with any sort of sense would be telling somebody that in a time when we are trying to, you know, put behind us the division, put behind us the confrontations, the nastiness, you know, the fallout from the January 6th attempted overthrow of a democratically decided election, that making your campaign all about you and your trying to bully transgender kids into committing suicide or something, you know, it's just despicable and disgraceful. And, you know, I hope that when this election's over and Hovde is, you know, returns to California, that he actually has a little bit of time to think about the evil for which he has, you know, pushed upon people. You know, the least powerful folks that we have. I mean, you know, again, I have a 21-year-old stepdaughter, and she's trying to write a comedy routine, you know, do a little bit of stand up,
yeah.
you know, try her hand at that. And I think it's great. Like, you know, and I wanted to be helpful because I'm failed at that. You know, I wanted to, you know,
come on, you're great.
I wrote one joke like 30 years ago and it turned out it wasn't very funny. But one of the things I said, you know, when she asked me my advice, I was like, the one thing you don't want to do is you never want to punch down.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to punch down because that's, you know, that's what evil people do. And again, I think, you know, not to tie it to what you brought up at the beginning, but that's exactly what we saw at Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
which was this, you know, repulsive effort to try and punch down at people when, as a people, we should be trying to lift one another up, you know, talk about godliness, talk about, you know, what's the, you know, I am my brother's keeper, you know, and that's what the Republicans have completely rejected, I think, in a lot, in you know, in their effort because they can't win because we know what we got with Trump and we won't go back.
Scott Ross, the Madison Square Garden rally featured not very prominent speakers, but they're kind of famous now, especially this comedian who was ripping on Puerto Rico. J.D. Vance was talked about it briefly recently and said, hey, I didn't see the joke. I'm not going to comment. Maybe it was racist. Maybe it wasn't. We have the cut. Let me just play this for you real quick, Scott, and let me get your reaction to this terrible response about this joke.
I haven't seen the joke. I you know, maybe it's a stupid racist joke, as you said. Maybe it's not. I haven't seen it. I'm not going to comment on the specifics of the joke. But I think that we have to stop getting so offended at every little thing in the United States of America. I'm so over it.
He's just so over it, Scott.
I mean, let's not kid ourselves. My God, the Republican Party is the party of victimization. You know, when some clown is reprimanded at work because they send out racist emails, you know, the Republican Party's ready to defend their right to the First Amendment because, you know, because of that sort of garbage. Yeah, J.D. Vance, you know, J.D. Vance, who is best known for sexual congress with a piece of furniture. You know, that's a joke, right?
Was sick of that joke? You know what I mean? I mean, he was getting a lot of flack for it. You think he was tired of that one, or you think he thought it was funny?
I mean, listen, here's the thing. He is such a poser.
Yeah.
Okay. I lived 25 years in Appalachia. J.D. Vance did not technically live in Appalachia. Like, where the suburb he lived in was not Appalachia. And the reason I know that he isn't from Appalachia was because if he was from Appalachia, he would be having sex with a Davenport, not a couch, you know, so, you know, give me a break. They are running the playbook of division. They are trying to break off enough pieces to get to 50% plus one. You know, they don't have an agenda for middle class Wisconsinites. They certainly don't have an agenda for people in need. They have an agenda that helps the very richest at the top. You know, another $4 trillion in tax breaks for rich people, you know, people like Eric Hovde. And I think, you know, I said a couple weeks ago that like these were going to be the three worst weeks for America in a long, long time because they're so desperate to try and win. But I think what we've seen is we have seen at no point in time in anything that has happened. And let us not, you know, not just the stuff that's happening on the airwaves, not just the stuff that's happening at Madison Square Garden, but you know, things like the Republican Party of Wisconsin, their entire get out the vote operation is being financed by Elon Musk, you know, the richest, second richest guy on the planet, who yesterday tweeted out a meme from his PAC calling the vice president the C word. You know, I mean, and not a single Republican has condemned this, has tried to walk away from it. Like they are so in, it is a sign of what they are willing to do to have power, the corruptibility, the soullessness, you know, the fraud, the venality that they're willing to endure in order for power. You know, and we're not talking about like just like Hovde, or we're not talking about, you know, just like Vance. I mean, we're talking about state assembly people who will not come out and criticize this sort of you know, this racism, this misogyny.
Well, and why? Because they're afraid of their own voters. They're afraid that either they won't vote for them or some physical harm may come to them. I mean, this is, come on, man, we're hardening up our election sites this cycle around, you know?
It is a cult. It is because the Republican Party is 100% owned cult of Donald Trump. And he is going to stick around after he loses this. This is going to, you know, he's not going to go away.
Right.
It is an impossibility that he will go away, and the Republican Party will continue to be saddled to him, or you know, would be chained to him, and is bad for the country because he is a bad and evil force of not goodness on this planet, you know, and he's been that way ever since. I mean, we knew what we had, you know, this is a guy who was like, you know, who was fined for refusing to vote or refusing to rent to Black people, you know. And just again, over and over and over again. And, you know, I think this one, you know, I like the idea, you know, that his racism may be the thing that defeats him in this election.
Yeah, right. Scott Ross, Mr. Ethics, Firebrand, and a Gemini joining me here on the radio. Scott, it is the October surprise. At least as of right now, this is the thing this close to the election that seems to be having the most impact, this total disregard, this total racism, this embrace of this behavior, and trying to, you know, turn out the base without going to the middle, trying to get the independents. This isn't grabbing any independents. This isn't grabbing anyone who has yet to make up their mind. This is turning those folks off, I would imagine. Then I have to ask you, Scott, what is the attraction for the voters, for the megas, for the Republicans, or what is left of the Republican Party, to vote for a guy like Donald Trump? Is it simply to own the libs? Because if I understand the analysis of the certain economic plans done by different organizations comparing Trump's and comparing Harris's, Harris's ranks much better in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes it's just that facts don't matter. And getting a Trump voter, I mean, really, getting a Trump voter to admit they were wrong, you know, it's essentially saying like everything that I have stood for is complete garbage. So we may not be losing. I don't think they're going to flip a lot of Trump voters. Maybe some voters will stay home in embarrassment. You know, some old Trump voters will do that. But I mean, the thing for me is that the idea that the October surprise, you know, 9 years after that guy waddled down the escalator and delivered the most racist, outside of like Charles Lindbergh, you know, the most racist speech, you know, to kick off an effort, that the October surprise is that people finally realize he's a racist. I dig it. It's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it's incomprehensible to me, it's fine. And again, like, you know, when you think about it, like in the battleground states, you know, the Puerto Rican population, they're in every single one of them could flip the election.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Pennsylvania, there's 500,000. North Carolina, 130,000. Wisconsin, 65,000. You know, same with Michigan, Arizona, you know, and they're in the 50s to 60,000s. Georgia, 125,000. I mean, this is an active population who, you know, I don't know that we knew where, you know, I'm not privy to anything other than the sort of ridiculous amount of garbage polling out there, you know, that just always happens to tell us that Dems aren't going to do very well, right? Like that big red wide,
like 68, 70 polls that I've seen or heard from reporting, Scott, that have been, you know, thrown out these last few weeks, you know, polling the averages towards Donald Trump. And when I look at this objectively, and you know me, man, I've voted for Republicans, I've voted for Libertarians, I've voted for Democrats, I've been all over the board. Objectively speaking, I have not ever seen a worse possible candidate than Donald Trump. Plus, he's old and he's saying all sorts of crazy stuff beyond, you know, just the meanness and the racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the fact is that he can't put a comprehensible sentence together. And when you think about like what his economic, like you said before, like my theory was always, I use my wallet every day. So what you do is you turn everything into an economic argument. And on every single economic argument, he fails, you know, because we know what his record was. He gave tax cuts to billionaires and corporations. We lost 3 million jobs under him, and our deficit, you know, exploded. So we know what the record is. And, you know, that's not even to get into, you know, the economics of women, and abortion and that sort of thing, we ain't going back. I don't think we're going back.
I don't think we're going back either. We're going forward. Scott, you got another segment left in you for me, my man?
Sure.
I appreciate that. Scott Ross, Mr. Ethics, he's a firebrand, he's a Gemini, he's a friend of ours. All right, we talked about the broccoli, the lima beans, right? The salt. Let's talk about the sugar. Let's talk about the cupcakes. Let's talk the happy. Let's talk VP Harris going to the Ellipse in just like an hour or two. She's going to deliver a speech to up to 50,000 people, the very same space where Donald Trump set a mob to attack the Capitol. I'm going to get your thoughts on that, what we should expect. Scott Ross, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Scott Ross, he is Mr. Ethics, he is a firebrand, and he is a Gemini, he's a friend of ours, sticking around for another segment. Thank you for doing so, Scott. As mentioned, Kamala Harris is going to be on the Ellipse like an hour or two from now, speaking, giving her closing argument, as it were, to about 50-plus thousand people, as mentioned, on the very same ground that Trump and his mob assembled to attack and try to what, steal our votes, man. I don't know if people can just like walk past that, but we do have some sound. Michelle Obama in Kalamazoo, Michigan. We're going to dive more into her speech in the next hour, but I want to play this one to remind people. Cut number six, if you would, please, Jess.
When the American people fired him from a job that was too big for him to begin with, he tried to steal it, egging on a violent mob that breached our nation's capital. And when told that his own vice president was in danger, you know what he said? So what? So what, y'all?
Scott Ross, I imagine the mood, the attitude, the feeling, the vibe there in Washington, D.C. today will be entirely different. What's your expectation for tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the vice president's probably going to deliver, you know, a hopeful speech, an optimistic speech, mostly that stresses her belief in the goodness of the American people. And I think it will also include that call to finally turn the page on the Trump era.
Yeah.
You know, and she'll talk about what she's going to do, what a first Harris term is going to be like versus a second Trump term, because I think you can offer that contrasting vision for America. I think it's one that's going to resonate with not just Democrats, but also with independents. And I think with some Republicans who have abandoned the party because of where Trump took it. So I think that, you know, let's not forget what Trump offered. Trump has an enemies list. You know, he's focused on himself.
Yeah.
He's not focused on the needs of the American people. And on the other hand, you've got Vice President Harris, who has focused on community service, who is focused on delivering for the people with President Biden, you know, lowering costs, moving the economy forward, helping people with the things that really matter in their lives. You know, it's about your priorities. And I think, you know, the people are going to, certainly here in the state of Wisconsin, across the battleground states, are going to vote and are voting now for Kamala Harris and what she offers the people of America, as opposed to what Trump offers, which is, you know, division, failure, incompetence, corruption, and you know, people being second class citizens. You know, if you're not a rich white guy, you're a second class citizen. So I think that makes all of us
an enemies list versus a to do list. I really like that comeback from the vice president. I think it was Van Jones was lamenting, you know, the expectations are so low for Donald Trump and so high for Harris. Like, she has to be flawless while Trump gets to be lawless. When I heard it just put like that, I was like, oh my God, that is exactly it. Why are these expectations so different, do you think, man? I mean, if she's not out there explaining X, Y, and Z in her, you know, her theory of relativity, while Trump's out there trying to tie his shoelaces, thinking that she's going to bring us into World War II.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had this, back in the dark ages when I still worked on campaigns, like, you know, the first three people I worked for were three women who ran for statewide offices and who were the first to do that. Kathleen Falk when she ran for governor, Peg Lautenschlager when she ran and won for attorney general, and Barbara Lawton after she'd been elected lieutenant governor. And, you know, they all sort of shared experiences with me, and I saw it on the road too, which is, you know, men can run on their aspirations and women have to run on their accomplishments.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying it's not right, but that seems to be it. I think that's, you know, we're moving past that, hopefully. But again, the misogyny that's been displayed by Donald Trump and the Republicans and J.D. Vance that goes back to the overturning of, you know, abortion rights, making women second class citizens, basically, breeders for the patriarchy. Do not for one second. If they get in there, there will be a nationwide abortion ban, 100%. It is in Project 2025. It is able to be done without legislation. It is able to be done without the Supreme Court. It will be done under these people because that is what they have. That is what they stand for, you know?
Scott Rossford, just a couple more minutes left in the segment. Harris has done a fine job of outreach to disaffected Republicans, right? Lots of folks, even down to the mayor of Waukesha, Wisconsin, appearing with Governor Walz here recently. Of course, famously, we have Liz Cheney and her father supporting. Hell, I think.
Yeah, you can stop it there. I don't want to hear about Charlie Sykes. I don't want to hear about that guy.
No, we're not saying okay? Charlie. We're not saying Charlie. But yeah, I think even Bush's daughter was out working for Harris. Do you think that's effective? And do you think it can go too far? And turning up perhaps some progressives.
I mean, the thing is that the Harris campaign, I think they've run pretty much a flawless campaign. They have shown that they can chew gum and walk at the same time. So they're doing both. You know, they're both talking to the base. They're both talking to the people that they need to have to the polls, but they're also talking to independents or disaffected Republicans who might be affected by those validators that they're bringing in. I want to just say one quick thing about it. It shows what a gutless man Paul Ryan is, because he refuses to vote for Kamala Harris. It won't stop the Southeastern Milwaukee media from like crowing about what a great guy he is, because they went out of their way to talk about how he wasn't going to vote for Trump. If you're not voting for Kamala Harris when she's on the ballot, you're not voting for Kamala Harris. You're helping Trump.
Scott Ross, Mr. Ethics, Firebrand Gemini, friend of ours. Thank you for joining me, man. Stay cool this next week. We'll follow up with you next week after the election to get your thoughts. Always appreciate your time and your perspectives, my friend.
Sounds good. I will continue to wear my victory vest.
Yeah, man. Thank you for listening. This is the Dom Salve Show, 855-752-4842. Come back with us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Maggie Dawn.
Marquette University Law School's newest poll drops, and I'll have Charles Franklin to tell you all about it. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.